had instructions to do things differently tonight because we needed to go to the Word to be able to come to the table. So I just want you to bow your heads with me. Father, without eyes and ears to hear and see, we're not going to be worth anything. But with the eyes and a heart to perceive, ears to hear, eyes to see, perception to understand, we will be able to manifest at the right time on the day appointed. Because this is the commemoration of the day of Pentecost, that when it fully came in Acts chapter 2, in the Amplified Version it says when the day of Pentecost fully came. I believe that we need to be aware that there are celebrations that go on in the realm of the Spirit. And many of them have been completed. Passover has been completed. Pentecost has been completed. And we're still looking for the fullness of it to be manifesting. So I'm asking, Father, for us to be able to see what your Spirit is speaking through this word in Jesus' name. So if you brought your paper and pencil, you better get ready because I've got a few scriptures for you. And I want to make sure that you preface with Acts chapter 2 because, again, it's based on when the day of Pentecost fully came. Now, the first place I want to look at with you is in the book of Exodus, because we're going to be talking about first fruits. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, he speaks of three festivals, starting at verse 14, but we're going to be touching verse 16. And it's very, very clear. Celebrate the feast of ingatherings, or the feast of harvest, with the first fruits of your crops you sow in your fields. Celebrate the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. Now, the ingathering is connected to this feast because it is the one that has not been done. That's tabernacles. That's never been completed. It has never fully come. It's going to fully manifest when you and I get transformed. But, again, if you look, you'll see that verse 14, it says, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me, celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, which is Passover, for 7 days, eat the bread made without yeast, and I point, made without yeast, meaning no sin acceptable, because yeast and sin are coordinated. And as I commanded you, do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. Now no one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of your crop you sow in your fields. Now that's Pentecost. Now I'm going to take you a little deeper, and we're going to skip over to Exodus 34. And we're going to look at verse 22. I'm not going to cover all the other parts of that, because if you wanted to learn a little more about the feast, you can celebrate the rest of it. But verse 22 specifies, celebrate the feast of weeks with the first fruit of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the time of the year. Three times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before the Lord, your God, etc. Verse 26 says, bring the best of your first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. And it goes on. But I want to, again, verse 22, the Feast of Weeks. Now, 7 times 7 is 49, but then Jesus had said, wait 50 days, which is really calling forth the number for what? What's number 50?
Jubilee.
Correct. So a resurrection takes place, but he's not happy with the resurrection. It's not enough because it's singular. He goes into the ground just like we put a seed into the ground. Now, when you put a seed into the ground, do you expect it to come back up as one? Or do you expect a harvest? Okay, so Jesus is the first fruit that was put into the ground. It was like the barley. And by the way, we received some barley today, so you'll have some to take home. But I'm trying to make you understand that you put Jesus into the ground. And then he says, in 50 days I will send what? My Spirit. Now, what was the purpose? Was to really take the old way of doing things, which they had been doing for hundreds of years, and still never connected, except when the brightness of God's presence came upon them, they started to understand a little bit more. So I want you to go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. We're going to look at verse 6. On the 15th day of the month of the Lord Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. Again, we're talking Passover. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, etc., etc. First fruits are called for. Okay? Now, they had a wave offering that continued, but then you go on to the verse 15, and it talks about the Feast of Weeks, which is really Pentecost. It says, verse 15, from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaves of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, etc., etc. But I want to concentrate on what they're doing. If you notice, up until now, you've never had yeast acceptable to wave before God. How many of you have still got a sin nature operating in you? Oh, really? If I took you to the New Testament, you'd know how many times that Jesus speaks about the leaven of the Pharisees. It's their sin nature. What is he really saying? I'm going to make man acceptable to myself, even with sin still in him. Up until that time, only the priesthood could come into the Holy of Holies. But on the day of Pentecost, they all came and the fire came down and they were what? Cleansed and changed. And they got new tongues. How many of you have got new tongues? Thank you. So you know that the Holy Spirit came upon you by the manifestation of a beginning of a transformation. And so now he's directing them at this particular feast to put yeast in to the leavened bread. So it's going to rise. It's got sin in it. Your flesh and my flesh still has problems with sin. I still have problems with it. Periodically I say, oh my God, how long can you put up with me? Well, I guess I've got a few friends. I should have heard an amen, but I didn't. Okay, thank you. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, even if you got sin in you, God accepts you. But I have a problem with you. Yes or no?
Yes.
Boy, church people aren't supposed to have sin. Well, is that the truth or a lie? It's a lie. God's word says that he's going to accept his creation with sin. Why can't Christians accept each other with sin? Tell me.
Because if they find a sin in you, it makes them feel better.
Oh, I want to hear that one more time. Go ahead. Give it to them loud.
They find the sin in you, it makes them feel better.
Wow. Now, isn't that a solution? How many can agree that you have that emotion sometimes? Well, they can get away with it. I can come up a little bit in my own estimation of myself. Yeah? I wonder if there's any pride in that person. Pride is like leaven, isn't it? It makes a mess of the whole batch. Oh, our church is the best church. Bull. Fill in the blanks. Your church is a place of reconstruction. That's what it is. It's not for perfect people. It's for hurting people. Your church is to help you get along with each other, seeing the sin within each other and saying we're going to lift them up and we're going to praise God and we're going to let God heal them. While he's healing them, he's going to be healing you. Pray for one another that you may
be healed.
James 5. Confess your sin one to another that you may be healed. Oh, well, I ain't telling them all my sin after all. But if God can accept you with sin, then by golly, you better make a decision. And make a decision now. Accept your brother. Accept your sister. Accept those that are having a hard time. And wait for the Lord to clean them up like he's doing to you. After all, the only one that's perfect is me. Well, if they were all like me, the church would be absolutely wonderful, perfect, and it would be harmony. Just I wouldn't want to be a part of it. Do I get any tiny amens?
Amen.
Okay. Since we have been created, the Adam nature is still working in us. Yes, you've been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I agree. Absolutely true. However, this block that I have on my shoulders is not always going to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has a few ideas of its own. My sister, who's expecting this baby, has found that she's got some weaknesses in her body, especially when she's carrying an extra number of pounds, right? Yeah, the joints don't feel as comfortable as they did, and you have to readjust. You know, every single individual, when you look at yourself, and you're honest with yourself and you say, yes, there's sin in me. So can I accept my brother and my sister with sin in them? Can I realize that my Heavenly Father has said it's not the end of the world anymore? I have received, what? A Redeemer. His name is? Jesus. He took my sin already. The only problem is, I'm still concentrating on it because I've got an accuser on the case. No accuser in your case?
Amen.
Okay. So what I'm trying to make you aware of, verse 17, from wherever you live, bring two loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defects. 7 is the number of completion. 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with the grain offering and drink offering, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 of the male goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. Notice they were trying to get along even then. Fellowship is being able to accept your brother. Yes? The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering together with the bread. Wave the lamb and wave the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance. Part-time ordinance? No. Lasting ordinance. For the generations to come, wherever you live. For which generation? Only a few?
No.
All generations to come. Wherever you live. When you reap a harvest of your hand, do not reap to the very edge of your field, or gather the gleaning of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And he doesn't change his ways. He doesn't change his ways. He's always the same. But he has changed what he accepts. And what he accepts is man with sin still in him. So if you've got a little bit here and there, don't get all bent out of shape. Shake it before God and say, okay, I am going to celebrate tonight. That recognition that I am acceptable to God, even with my shortcomings, even with my bad decisions, even with the lusts that are still working on me, even with the jealousies that are still operating periodically, even at the pride that says I'm the only one that knows how to do this right. After all, if they took lessons from me, it would be such a wonderful church. Yes or no? Okay. So are you catching on? See, I'm not accusing. I'm just letting you know, if you're human, God says it's okay. It is okay. I'm having a lot of problems. I'm hearing the feedback on the inside. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, God.
God.
I have a hard time accepting me with sin in me. How many can lift their hands and believe that statement is true? Some of you have already bypassed, but some of you are still working on this corner. I'm trying to make you see something. I'm not trying to tell you stop cleaning your act up. I'm not trying to tell you that. I am trying to tell you, however, that those weaknesses, God knows about them. And when you release them to him, he will clean you up better than you clean up yourself. Clean yourself up. He's a much bigger God than you think. I mean, if you take a good example of God accepting man with sin in him, take a good look at Peter. Because Peter's a good friend. He's full of anxiety. He's got pressure tactics. He's a proud fisherman. He knows how to fish. Yes? I ran a company for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. I learned from my daddy. And here comes this stranger from up Nazareth. I mean, you know, anything good come from there? And that's where Jesus came from. And he came down to Peter's hometown, showed him how to fish, and it drew him into a frenzy. It really did. I mean, you know, you fish all night, you work like a bull. Okay, you're exhausted. And he says, now throw the net on the other side. Yeah, sure. Who are you, a carpenter? That's what we heard about you. We know who you are. We know what you do. What do you know about fishing? And the Lord kind of looked at Peter and said, you know what? Just give it a try. What have you got to lose? Maybe some of your exhaustion will be going away when you see what I can release to you by the Spirit of my Father. See, it's not by flesh that he did it. He did it by the Spirit of the Father. You've got that Spirit in you. That Spirit of the Father is alive in you. In the midst of all your other things, he is definitely resident within you. It's the same Holy Ghost that's in you that's in me. It's the same Jesus that's here today, telling you it's going to be okay. And when they did do it, as the word came, there was an abundance. And you know what is kind of cool? The first time they drew in the fish, the nets broke. The last time he gave them the instruction, not one fish was lost. You see, the difference is, when you've been with Jesus long enough, you're not going to lose any. You're not going to lose any. But I am trying to tell you that you will have to put up with some of the sin nature that's still in you. And you know what? I remember another man. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He got to be named Paul, but the bottom line is, he had a problem and he asked God to take it away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Oh, so you know about that. Close your eyes one more time. Why don't you question yourself right now? Say, Lord Jesus, can I really put up with some sin still in me? Can I accept what was told to St. Paul? Can I recognize that if I ask for grace, he gives it to me freely? Is he giving me grace to keep me humble? Is he letting the thorn in my flesh, the weakness in my flesh, the weakness in my emotions, the weakness in how I feel about myself, is he leaving that there just to keep me humble? Is he doing it his way instead of mine? Does he think he's the Holy God of Israel? Does he need any help from me on how to clean me up? Will he accept me with sin still in me? How many find that yes hard to speak? You know why? Because we're coming out of religion. Religion says if you've still got sin in you, how can you be a saint? I'm telling you that a saint is the person who shakes himself off after he made a major mistake. And he shakes himself and says, God, you know what? I screwed up. I made a mess today. I just did it. Will you forgive me? And 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful to forgive me. Are you faithful to forgive yourself? Are you faithful to forgive yourself? If you're not, check out the Word. There were times I had to scream at myself and say, God has already forgiven me, but the enemy didn't want to let up. Anybody relate? He doesn't want you to be free with sin still in you. Yet God says, I accept you as you are. The problem is, we don't accept ourselves as we are. And we don't accept our neighbor as they are. After all, they should be perfect. They've been in the church long enough. They should be, cool down and doing it right by now. I'll remind you of Matthew chapter 7. When you judge, it falls back on your own nose. Romans 2 says the same thing. Don't do it. But churning and churning on the inside because of your sin only ties you up with what? The sin nature as your focus. When I focus on my weakness, what happens to me? Depression, heaviness, and I could give you a few others, but I'll just give you those two because that's sufficient. And you don't have a future. You've just canceled out God's plan. and you took up your own plan. It's time we change it. Amen? Okay. There was a few more, but I think you've got the message, and I don't want to take this any deeper. I believe you've got the idea. Jesus went into the ground, like the barley. God allowed him to stay there for 3 days. And by his spirit, he was what? Resurrected. He was changed. And then his spirit was released into who?
Us.
Into 120. That was the first fruit. See? It's the same principle. The first fruit is 120. If you go to Revelation 12, I believe it's 144,000. 12 times 12 multiplied. Same number, same idea. Transformation to the next level. It's going to be the ingathering of the saints. It's going to happen at Tabernacles. That's why we celebrate Tabernacles. Because we know that that's the only feast that has not fully come. But it will manifest in the earth. It will manifest in the earth. Try it on. It will manifest in the earth. It's going to manifest in me. It's going to manifest in my earth. Because that's God's plan. And I'm excited about God's plan.
And I'm excited about God's plan.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I want you to come up here and stand around a table because we're going to be together. So let's do it, kids. Notice that I want to tell you, Gail did not know. 3 sixes are 18, right? That, I remember right? Gail did not know what we were going to do this afternoon, but I kept crying out to the Lord, make sure we have something that's got yeast in it. It's all I asked him for. Because he showed me that vision today. We had to have bread with...
Yeast.
Why? Yeah, it had to have sin or something that represents sin. And therefore, come on, Bill. Get right around so everybody can have a chance. Okay. Now, my sister, where is she? Oh, there you are. You want to get the recorder over there, please? Because she also had a commission, so tell them what God did.
On Sunday, you said the word barley.
Oh yes.
In what, when you were teaching, and it just flashed in my mind was this jar of barley that I have for making soup in the winter, and it just kind of flashed in my mind thinking, oh, barley, and. I was listening to what I had recorded last night on the Praise the Lord show. Chuck Pierce was, it was an incredible teaching. And just shortly into it, he said, barley harvest. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was like, okay.
Was he talking to Paula White?
Yes.
That was him with the beard?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I knew that I had to bring the barley in. And I heard the number 5, but I got out my little bags. And but then I filled 5, and there was still more left. And it was like, no, all of it. So there's 6 bags. And so as Pastor said, the number of man, and man having sin still in us.
Yep.
Hallelujah. So
see the coordinates, how the Holy Ghost did it? Because I did not say anything to anybody. And I'm not supposed to say, because I need to have the Holy Spirit confirm himself to the saints. It's got to be something that God is preparing, not something that man prepares. How many know man does a mess? Holy Ghost does it right. Okay? So if you created a few messes, it's not a problem. Oh boy. That did not go over bid. It doesn't go over big. Why? Because you're still having a problem. Do I have to have you all perfect tonight?
No. No.
Good. Can we still have some sin in us?
Yes. Yes.
Can we be acceptable to each other as we are?
Yes.
Does Jesus love us as we are?
Yes.
Can you love yourself as you are?
Yes.
Whoa. Did you make a mistake?
No.
Okay. Look across from each other. Say, I can love you as you are.
I can love you as you are.
Even in your weakness.
Even if you sin.
Even if you sin. I will love you.
Like Jesus loves me.
Because I've got sin in me.
So
that makes us lovable.
That makes us lovable.
And acceptable.
With sin in us.
Yeah. That's a revelation, isn't it?
Yes.
Ah. Now you see why we celebrate the feast. Lift your hands towards this cup, because you see this is what made the difference. Declare with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You shed your blood.
You shed your blood.
Instead of the goats and the bull.
Instead of the goats and the bull.
It was your blood.
It was your blood.
That made me clean.
That made me clean.
That made me acceptable.
That made me acceptable.
With sin still in me.
With sin still in me.
I am so awed by this blood, Lord.
I'm so awed by this blood, Lord.
Because you did it.
Because
you did it because you loved me.
You did it because you loved me.
Even with sin still in me.
Even with sin still in me.
This is so awesome, God.
This is so awesome, God.
That you can love me.
That you can love me.
With sin in me.
With sin in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for being the first fruit.
Thank you for being the first fruit.
Yes, the barley was the wheat that was planted in the winter.
Yes, the barley was planted in the winter.
And it was the first fruit.
And it was the first fruit.
And that's why we're bringing barley in. Barley was early to come out of the ground.
So was Jesus.
I'm the next one that's coming out of the ground.
Because
the Feast of Tabernacles will fully come.
And I
want to
live through it.
You're not going alone.
We're going together.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Now, if you notice,